Well, this morning we're going to be going over one of the more common stories, I think, in the Bible called David and Goliath. Who has heard of that? Who's heard the story? If you're not, you're gonna. So, this morning in 1 Samuel 17 is a story where we tell our children to help them to stand up against those who oppose them. But sadly, we seem to have relegated this story to more of a children's story and lessons and applications that are far-reaching for some. But let's consider some of the truths we can discover in this story. So instead of reading the whole chapter, we're simply going to be lifting some truths out of it to help us in our daily Christian walk. There is one truth which we need to know and embrace and understand. Truth number one, as a child of God, you have an enemy. Yes, we have an enemy as a child of God. So Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Again, that's Ephesians 6:12. So, in other words, our enemy is the same one who attacked Jesus in Matthew 4. It is a ruler, the authority, the world power of darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil. So simply put, our enemy is Satan, if you did not know this. He is Satan. He is the giant in our lives. So now he may use a person, he may use a physical condition, he may use a weakness that we have, and he's going to use that to his max potential against us. And we need to know who our enemy is. So the question is, how can we overcome our adversaries, the enemy, and the giants who come against us? A perspective on our adversaries, the giants, never underestimate the power of the enemy. In our salvation, we gain the Holy Spirit who leads, protects, and empowers us. Don't get me wrong, they will come. Make no mistake, the enemy will show up in our lives. And part of the problem for many believers today flows from the fact that they do not expect opposition when they have God in their lives. They feel like it should be a free and easy ride. So in verse 26 in 1 Samuel says, Verse 26 says, "The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter.'" I'm reading verse 25. I knew that didn't sound right. Move down to 26. Here we go. "And David said to the man who stood by him, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God.'" So clearly, David saw this challenge, Goliath, from a very different perspective from the rest of the Israelites. Differently from the king, he did not just see this huge man. The key to David's understanding of the situation lies in those words, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So today, to put it in perspective, I went high tech and taped some cardboard together. Here we go. I'm going to pull this out. A little high tech duct tape fixes everything, right? So this is just to put in perspective, this is how tall Goliath was according to the Bible. It's pretty intimidating, right? You know, I'm 6 foot, almost, not really. I'm not 6 foot, but 5'9"-ish. But yes, that is pretty intimidating to me to look up at the height of this and just see. Yeah, it puts it in perspective. I thought about maybe just using a tape measure, but just to leave it up here so you can keep that in your minds of how big he was. I'm sure he is much wider than this. This is just the height of him. this would be kind of like going up to my 3-year-old daughter who comes up to about my knee and telling her to fight me and expecting her to win. That's what I think of when I see this. But yes, that would be very intimidating, and David saw everything of Goliath from God's perspective and not from a human understanding or human wisdom. Humanly, yes, David had no hope against such a warrior as this, as big as this man was. Yet David knew the truth, truth number two, that only the great men of God in the Old Testament had known, was the battle is the Lord's. He did not just see this giant, but saw that Philistines were uncircumcised. So back to verse 26 says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" This is repeated twice in this story, in verse 26 and in verse 36, which is going to make this pretty significant. He knew he was on God's side because he was under this covenant. And he knew the Philistines, because they were uncircumcised, was not under a covenant with God. But the lesson that we would draw from the story, because he trusted in his God, David would be true to himself. If all you see is the visible physical, which is Goliath, you know, 9'6" giant, his weapons bigger than David were. It says the spearhead was 16 pounds. Can you imagine that, a spearhead weighing 16 pounds? It's like one of those big rocks over there. I should have weighed one of those rocks and found one. But just his spearhead was 16 pounds. His armor was probably about 125 pounds. So if all you saw was a visible physical, such as that, and not the invisible spiritual, then you will not see the reality that might be right in front of you. David saw both sides and knew he would be victorious. He also had previous experiencing fighting a bear and a lion. Now you got to think, David is a younger boy. He's not a full-grown man yet. And he's already killed a bear and a lion back in the day, back in his day. He did not have, you know, a rifle or pistol. Probably had a staff or maybe a knife. But these bear and sheep came to rob him of his flock. So he watched this, and he went up and killed these animals. So what are you looking at is going to affect what you see, whether it's Goliath, who has huge weapons to match, or do you see that he does not follow God? And you have a great advantage because of this. So the whole point of the church and God is so you can see behind the scenes. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, I'm going to turn your Bibles there. Second Corinthians 4:18. Our pages are sticking together. 4:18 says, "As we look not into the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So in our lives, when facing a Goliath, we need to see the spiritual side, the spiritual battle first, then work our way back to the physical. The giant that you will or may have faced already, I'm sure we have all faced a giant at this point in your lives, whether it be relational, financial, economic, whatever else it may be in your life, there are many different giants that come into us or come at us. And we see in this story when Saul was concerned for David's seeming idiocy to want to come and fight this man, Saul tried to provide him with protection. So in verse 38 of 1 Samuel 17 says, "Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put on a helmet of bronze on his head and cloaked him with a coat of mail." So this was in an attempt to protect David, to try and help him win a battle against such a man. And Saul and David, they both faced the same Goliath. They were facing the same person. But who did they both turn to? Saul was turning to a younger boy to come fight his battles, but David was turning to God. That's why David knew he would be victorious. So maybe we need faith like a child, like it says in Matthew 18:3. If you want to turn your Bibles there. Matthew 18, verse 3 says, "And said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So like I said, can you imagine David about 5 foot nothing probably? We'll go with that, 5 foot nothing-ish, where I'm 6 feet, like normal. Oh, I wish I was 6 feet, that'd be awesome. But anyways, David about 5 foot nothing, coming out in Saul's armor, a full grown man, clanking around, trying to be able to move. I'm sure that was outweighed him probably. And David knew what he was good at, so he did not take Saul's armor in the story. So I'm going to need two or three volunteers. Who wants to come up? Face Goliath. Everybody got one? There's two. One more. Anybody? Anybody? So today, our volunteers are going to be using this exact replica. Exact to the color of David's sling. Almost. You guys can come on up. So today, just to show you how hard it is to use a sling, or easy, we're going to be flinging some rocks, so watch your heads out there. Just kidding. We're not going to throw rocks. We're using Nerf darts. I stole my son's Nerf darts here. Just for the sake of everybody else's forehead in the audience. I've seen me try to throw these earlier. Did not go so well. But yes, we got us a replica of David's sling here. Exact color, like I said. But our goal is to hit Goliath in the head, so just above that white tape. I want you guys to aim for that. Show you.
Not the light directly behind it.
Not the light directly behind it, no. But this foam ball should be all right. Might catch on fire. We'll see. We'll try not to burn down the church while Rick is gone. But yeah, so I build it like this. You can put it on your pinky. You hold this in, put the ball in, and you swing around, or you can go over the top of your head. Hey, I hit it. This is why you gotta watch your head. So I did not hit him in the head, so the Israelites have lost the battle. We're out of luck. No, I'm just kidding. But we got three volunteers. Here we go. Go ahead and take your weapon. You guys think you can hit it?
No.
I think you can. Thank you. All right. Go ahead. I'm going to get out of the way. You can hit me. It's only pain. There we go. Over the head. Where'd it go? Oh! You can have a couple more tries. No? Yep. At least two. I'll give you three. He's just watching the practice around here. Nope. Yep. Got to let go of one end. Yep. Watch your heads out there. This Nerf dart might get you. Hit the right Goliath. Oh, all right. Let's try the next. See, I was surprised I honestly hit it. So you did. All morning and all week.
Up and down.
Yep. All right.
Only got one loop.
Only got one loop.
I can't get
the
sling on.
You just put that on your pinky, and then hold that side. That way you can let go. You can hold both sides if you feel like it.
This is why they invented guns.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot easier. All right, wind it up. It went somewhere. Here you go.
Behind you.
Another one. The wrong Goliath. The music stand is not your enemy. Goliath standing there, charging you with a 16-pound spearhead. No pressure. Oh, there it is. Oh, he got him in the kneecap. He slowed him down a little. Yep. All right. Here we go. Woo. And just so y'all know, this is my brother-in-law. We recruited him today. It's great. He came to visit. All right, we'll see if he's any good with a sling. Got to save the Israelites here. Somebody's got to. Oh, here we go. Got another one. We got lots of ammo. These tend to disappear pretty easy. One, two. Whammied. Nope. Wham yourself.
One more?
Yeah, go for it. One more. Let's clap for him. You can get it. You can hit it. Oh! Just trying to break our screen here. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.
And the ammunition.
Oh, and the ammo. So it's a good thing we didn't use real rocks today because he's flying. Hit pretty hard, actually. I didn't want to break somebody's face, so. All right. Oh, and then I dumped it all over. I'm going to trip over these. So just to show you the point of all this, we are not very good with a sling because we have not used it at all. Has any of you guys used a sling before? Especially a custom-made one like this? I made it this week while I was sitting there planning for this, and I'm pretty sure this is not how you make a sling. But it kind of works, so I want to see if I can hit it. Right to the ceiling. I think it's stuck in the ceiling. Did it fall down? I don't know. Anyways, we'll stop with that before it breaks something. But yeah. Yes, but to show us that, we are not very good with sling because we do not know how to use it. We haven't used it much in our lives. Just like David had not used that armor and not used to it, he knew his skill with a sling and a stone. It may sound like a small thing, that sling and stone, but once you get it, if you can actually use it, it flings it pretty fast if you've ever seen anybody use one. But are we always true to ourselves, true to the person that God has made us to be with the skills that he has given us? So Romans 12, 6 through 8, so turn to Romans, says, having gifts that differ according to the grace is given us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So we all have some sort of giftings in our life. There's something that everybody is good at. Whether you know it or not, I'm sure you are great at something. What's something you're great at? Just shout it out.
Napping.
What's that? Napping? I can go with that one. I like being great at napping. He's great at a slingshot. Should we have him come on up here and try it? This isn't a slingshot. This is a sling, so it's different. But yes, there is something we are all good at, different giftings. And David knew his giftings and how to use them. He did not go out in the king's armor because he knew he would lose using those. It would be like going out to battle with his hands and feet tied together. Again, he looked to God, the spiritual side of the battle, and used what God had given him to defeat Goliath, such as using a sling and stone when he fought the bear and the lion. In Ephesians 2:10, turn your Bibles there. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So truth number three, David put his trust in the Lord. That's truth number three. So lack of trust in God was the very reason that all of Saul's army was afraid. They did not trust in the man up there watching over them. They were afraid to meet Goliath in battle because all they saw was the physical. David, though, trusted in God and was willing to face an awesome task. David trusted in the Lord and was not let down. the bear and the lion, such as the bear and the lion. David's trust in God is clearly seen in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. And that says, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." So we need the same type of trust in our lives today. We need this type of trust in times of adversary when giants come against you. James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So if we jump down to verse 12 in James 1, says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life God has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, do we trust God enough to believe these verses? Yes, you should trust God enough with your life. We need to trust God over men. Would you rather trust God or your brother or sister in a situation? God, yes. Even though they may be family, you should definitely trust God over anybody else. They can lead you astray sometimes, you know. My sister would lie to me and, you know, tell me we're going to play hide and seek, and then she goes play something else while I'm hiding. So that happens. Put your trust in God over men. The Israelites were putting trust in themselves, like I was there, and therefore they were afraid because they did not trust themselves enough to defeat this man. Man will let us down. God will not. So Psalms chapter 20, turn there. Verses 6 and 7 says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand." Verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." We need David's attitudes in our life. Truth number 4, David went into battle prepared. Do you guys go into things unprepared? How does it go if you don't prepare? Not well. Sometimes you make it through and sometimes you don't. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, "Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine." So we know that David trusted God, but he still see David collecting 5 stones instead of 1. David wanted to make sure he was prepared because Goliath had 4 other brothers. He wanted to be prepared. He trusted in God. I know, I'll say when I go out hunting, I take a lot more than just 1 bullet. Sorry, but you know. But God always wants us to do our part, just like David did here. He went out and prepared. We are in battle today, and we must prepare ourselves. How? We need to put on the whole armor of God. You guys know what the whole armor of God is? Can you quote it for me? Ooh, we got Ephesians. Yep, so Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, we will read it here in case you have not heard this before. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on," excuse me, "having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we're going to go into the armor just a little bit. The belt of truth, we need to know the truth. So what are you grounded in? God's word or your own understanding? The belt of truth, what are you going to be grounded in? Breastplate of righteousness, are you living the right way? To put on the breastplate of righteousness, we must first have the belt of truth firmly in place. Without truth or righteousness, our righteousness will be based upon our own attempts to impress God, which, as we all know, trying to impress God with our own will and understanding doesn't go well. We must first seek God's righteousness above everything else. We make Him and His ways our dwelling place. The shoes of peace. Having peace, knowing that you have a firm foundation in your walk of faith with Christ. So, have you guys ever went hiking before? You have some terrible shoes. You get blisters. It's not a very good foundation. You need a good foundation, good shoes to walk and hike. You just says you need a firm foundation in Christ. We need the shoes of peace. This leads to the shield of faith, which will protect you from the enemy's attacks on your walk, our giants. The shield of faith can extinguish this fiery arrows to block them. Helmet of salvation. For the protection of our minds, it represents the truth of the gospel and the hope of salvation that we have in Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hopefully you know that. This is the sword of the Spirit. It represents everything we need in our lives. Our Bibles is our one offensive weapons because we don't fight the way the world would fight today. We cannot do it under our own power. You've not got that yet. Are you wearing the whole armor of God, or are you just going to wear a piece of His armor? Because if you're only wearing one piece, you're not walking the full faith that God wants you to walk. Are you ready to fight the Goliaths of your day? The Goliath of depression, Goliath of finance, the Goliath of anxiety, etc., etc. There are so many. Will we be victorious like David, or will you fall in fear? That is the question that we have for you today. So today I would like to invite our deacons up and their wives or spouses. And if you guys have a Goliath today, I would like you to come forward and get prayed for a few minutes, and if you don't, I want you to pray for everybody else next to you just for a few minutes. And just think about things that you have faced or you will face and pray about them. We'll come back here in a minute. So if you would like prayer, come forward. Your deacons and spouses will be up here. Thank you. God, we just ask you to come over us today. Help us clear our minds. Let us see and know what our Goliath is today. Help us in to prepare to meet our Goliath head on. Give us peace knowing that you are by our side, God. We thank you. If you guys have any more prayers, come let us know or find somebody in the audience to pray with. That is what we are here for, is what church is here for, is to